You may have mentioned foxes earlier, Chris.
Yes, I did. On our way here, Matthew, we saw a hen pheasant scurry across one of the farm tracks in front of us with about 15 young pheasants just out of the egg, scurrying along behind mum and disappeared in one of the margins. That was a lovely sight, and that started me thinking about predators, something we are very aware of in the countryside. And it's a really kind of thorny issue for some people. Lots of gamekeepers say, you know, anything with a hooked beak is neither good to man or beast. And a gamekeeper nearby, when he heard I was stopping shooting on High Ash Farm, which is a fair old lump of perfectly laid out countryside for game shooting, he said, "Farm will go to rack and ruin," he said. And he said, "You told me I was a waster," every name under the sun. And I was in dread about stopping predator control on High Ash Farm. And a predator is something that really affects the game portion of the farm. Remember, many people were gamekeepers in previous generations and relied on controlling predators out in the countryside. That certainly included foxes, badgers to some extent, certainly carrion crows, jays, anything that eats eggs. And of course, when you stand back and look at what humanity does, we eat lots of eggs. We're top mammal for eating birds' eggs and chickens' eggs and eating chickens. And yet, if a fox, for example, gets in the local chicken run, it will kill one and then kill two or three as a kind of insurance policy. So basically, that's how it works. So that gamekeeper, he was pretty hard-nosed. And as he said, only good fox is a dead one. And eventually, he changed. It took a long time of farming as the gamekeeper next door to High Ash Farm, and eventually he became quite ill, and sadly he died. And for his funeral, his wife came to see me and said, in the latter years of her husband's life, he changed his thinking completely and realised that if you stop predator control, the predators do set out their own territory, so you won't have hundreds of foxes. And on High Ash Farm, we've perhaps got three fox earths left on the farm, and they kind of form a balance between themselves. And her question to me was, when she came to arrange her husband's funeral, could she have the CD of the Nightingale, which I'd recorded earlier, because her husband had heard me play it on local radio and realised he'd changed his ways completely and had that for his funeral. And that really kind of stopped and made me think and realised that I was perhaps heading in the right way. So earlier this week, one of the ladies was riding along this track we're standing on a newly planted area of woodland, and this strip along here is an acre of wood. The total area is 4 acres, and it's called successional woodland on part of it, and parts planted as well, and that to offset, it's a carbon offset, this side of the woodland. And so it's now getting nicely mature. It's dense with brambles, there's young oak trees growing up, and it's a superb area, and it's the ideal habitat for the foxes here at the farm, although clay soil. And just in the wood, only a few yards from where we're standing, is a very well-occupied fox earth with 4 cubs in there, and mum and dad are feeding the young as well. They're all about 3 months old now, so just under half grown. And the girl riding along the track here stopped her horse, and the fox cubs came out and played right in front of her, and she told me where it was and what they were doing.
So the cubs weren't wary of a human presence?
No, they weren't. And it was late evening. It was just as the sun was setting, so it was about 9:30. And at that time, mum and dad had gone out hunting. Dad will bring some food back for the vixen, but not necessarily right to where the earth is. He will have something called a larder, and he'll just cover anything that he's killed up with his nose, and the vixen will know where the larder is. So if she's nursing the cubs and can't really leave the fox earth where she's got the young cubs in, which are pretty well jet black when they're born, the cubs that are here are now getting nicely coloured up. They're deep red, and they play. As soon as mum and dad are gone out hunting, like any kind of teenagers, they are out playing, and it is the most glorious sight. I managed to get my trail cam here and carefully rubbed my hands in grass so there wasn't any scent of soap left on my hands, and I've managed to get a beautiful video, and we'll be able to show you that this weekend on High Ash Farm Facebook, and hope to send a copy through to Anna and Sophie at Soundyard as well, so perhaps they can fix up something so you'll be able to actually watch what I saw through the camera lens. And it's in HD, it's in high definition, so you can put it on a 20-inch screen, and it's absolutely beautiful. You're watching mammals, in other words, like us, playing and living in harmony with this area of countryside. And if we just walk up a little bit,
so they're in here somewhere.
They're in here. And we won't go into where the earth is.
I expect Rat can smell them.
Yeah, I'm sure he can. And this is where there's a little area of flattened grass here, and all four cubs sit just here. This is where the camera was, just here beside this newly planted tree. And I got them playing in the daytime, and there's some fox poo there.
Well, don't let Rat see that.
No, because he will roll in it and think that's wonderful. And of course, yeah, foxes have formed a lot of history through the generations, really. And we're now going to have a general election. Don't groan, everybody, but there can be a further change in legislation about killing foxes, whether they should be shot and controlled, or whether snares, which are still used hugely to kill them, should be banned completely. Most snares now that are sold with what's called a restraint on, so they won't go right tight. But it's really sad how we treat our predators, which form such an important part of biodiversity. And when you stand back and let it all happen itself, because nature at the end of the day knows best, and it's only for the sake of increasing the partridge and pheasant population that we really carry out predator control. And once you address that, and we've just seen a hen pheasant taking all her young charges out into one of the wildflower margins, and the whole place is stuffed with pheasants. I won't say it's stuffed with foxes because they control each other. We've only got one pair of carrion crows on the entire square mile of High Ash Farm, and if any other carrion crows try to nest in their territory, they pull the nest to pieces and just see them off. So that's what you call kind of territorial possession, if you like. And so it's a really interesting conversation to have about humans' relationship with wildlife and calling foxes vermin. We call some of our other mammals vermin as well. You can have hares shooting for part of the year, and then suddenly at the end of February you can carry on shooting them, but you can't sell them, and at that point they're classed as vermin, which is really, really weird and really interesting. So we need to really look at all the game laws to go back to realise that we're still shooting woodcock, which has now become a red list species, and the relationship between us harvesting them, same with snipe, pheasants, partridges, it all needs to be looked at, because the laws that were formed, the game laws from years and years ago, are now hugely outdated, as we're putting so much pressure on our beautiful countryside that really it needs to be redressed, and perhaps the current election coming up will help to do that in future months and years.
You could always stand for Parliament.
I could do. I've got some fantastic ideas. And speaking of fantastic, there was a book I used to read my children over and over again. It was called Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, yes. And Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl. And there's three farmers starring in it. Boggis, Poggis, Bunce and Bean were the three notorious farmers, and the fantastic Mr. Fox got the better of them every time. I loved it, and the children loved it. Over and over again I read that book. I can nearly repeat it word for word. And yeah, it was Gilbert White that rode his horse. In his journal he commented on it in January. And the foxes are very rank at this time of the year, he said, and you can still detect where they were the previous night as you ride your horse around the village. Love it. So lots and lots of history.
Well, and I think your foxes, I can't smell them at all. So they're
obviously the wind is this way.
The underarm deodorant on.
Believe me, that smell is being blown away from us, and it's pretty high near the earth. There'll be carcasses of all sorts of animals and squirrels as well. And there we are. So rats, the wind is blowing away and he hasn't detected it. But do enjoy that video. It is breathtakingly beautiful to see young foxgloves playing and learning to hunt as well. It's stunning.